The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We call them seasons of life, various chapters in our life. How do you navigate through them? Let's talk about it. Navigating through the process. Well, that's the title of our message today. Really, it's a look at those seasons of life that we go through. And there are various seasons, aren't there? Chapters, as it were. So how do you navigate through those chapters? How do you get from one chapter to the next of your life and do so to the glory of God? Well, that's what today's message is all about as we take a look at Numbers chapter 11. Won't you join us? From the Well, a Christian community here in Livermore, California. We would invite you to catch up with us in Numbers 11 on this edition of Times of Refreshing. Here's Pastor Napoleon.
Numbers chapter 11. The title of my message this morning is Navigating Through the Process. Life can be a process and a series of processes. As you're going through life, and you're seeking to accomplish certain goals, and God has certain things on your prophetic destiny and points on your prophetic destiny, we have to see that it is a process. It generally doesn't happen all at once. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we're navigating through pitfalls and stuff and mess and junk, and things are going on, and God is taking us on our journey through life. We have to know how to navigate, to deal with various things that are going to come our way as we're on our journey through life. And every one of us is on a journey. And when you look at the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and I've been studying this book in preparation of this book I've been telling you guys that I'm formulating and I'm working on. I've been studying the book of Numbers because the book of Numbers is great in talking about leadership and talking about what it means to lead and talking about what men did as God inspired them to lead. The children of Israel were in Egyptian captivity. God liberates them with a mighty hand, brings great liberation to them. And we know the story about the Red Sea. We know about them crossing over on the dry land. We know them getting into the wilderness and going through this process in the wilderness with God, where they're learning to become utterly and completely dependent upon God. And all of us in our lives are going to go through these moments where God wants to teach us once again how to be utterly and completely dependent upon Him. That He knows the way. He knows what to do. He knows what's ahead of you 10 years from now. He's a God who has ordained time, but yet stands outside of time, giving us information and insight into His process and how we are to get to where we're supposed to go. He led them through the wilderness. He gave them manna. He provided for them manna. Every morning they had the opportunity to be sustained by His hand. He provided shade when they needed shade with the cloud. He provided the fire at night. The angels kept guard over the nation of Israel. Moses was an excellent leader who led them to this place in the story. And it says here in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 11, it says here, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and His anger, His righteous indignation," it says, "was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord," it says, "the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Terabah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. You know, on this journey, sometimes there's going to be times as we're going through this life where things may not be necessarily what you would like, but they are what you need. We have to learn, when it comes to walking with God, there are going to be things that are things in your life that are personal preferences. They're personal preferences and the things that you may think that you need, but ultimately we have to start deferring to God to find out what's necessary for this stage of my life or where I'm going or where I'm headed. Your personal desire and need should not be the only thing that you rely on to determine what is right or what is necessary at that moment. Because sometimes it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, what does God say is right for you at this particular moment? And we have to be okay with that, because he's God and we're not. The problem is that sometimes as we're on this journey, just like the children of Israel, we get to a place where things aren't necessarily the way that we want it. But it's not that we're lacking in need or our need isn't getting met. It's just that our want isn't getting met. So God has sustained them. He's blessed them. He's keeping them. And now with keeping them, and with now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And I wrote this down. Complaining brings forth God's displeasure. We have to think about this in our lives. Saints, stop complaining about everything. God blesses us with a new job, the one that we prayed for and cried for and fell out for. And then we get it, and then one of our coworkers isn't acting right, our boss is pushing us too hard. And then the next thing you know, we start complaining. We start complaining. And here, and it's not just that, you know, our job is one thing, but relationships are another thing. And where you live at is another thing. And what your kids are doing is another thing. Some people, they have majors in complaining. That's all they do. They will find something negative towards everything. And we have to start reprogramming ourselves and start getting that stuff out of our heart. And then when our relationship with God, we have to make sure that we stop complaining. Some people, you get around them, they're just always whining about everything. I don't like that. I don't like this. You just got a new car. Yeah, you know what? I'm happy I got a new car, but I don't like it. Why? Because, you know, the seat isn't as soft as I thought it was going to be, and this and that. Does it ride good? Yeah. Do you get to your destination? Yeah. But, you know, my seat, does your rear end hurt when you get up? No, not necessarily. But I thought it was going to be a grade 3 with softness, but it's a grade 2. And we start finding every little thing. Look at your neighbor and say, stop it. Stop. We do it with God. The problem is, when we do this with God, is it causes God's displeasure to rise up. And it ultimately, it causes God to develop a righteous indignation towards us if we're not watchful. Because this word here, when I look at this, to complain, it means to find fault. When it comes to God, people find fault with everything that he's trying to do in their life. They're thinking about now. They're not thinking about the fact that God's not just thinking about now. He's thinking, he's 10 years ahead of you. Let him be 10 years ahead of you and orchestrate your steps and lead you. And what happens is we start complaining. We start murmuring. We start finding fault with God's direction in our lives. And we have to be watchful. I wrote this down. We also have to check our decisions and actions to find out if they are the source of any trouble that we're having in the moment. We have a bad tendency of blaming God for situations we put our own selves in. Can I have an amen? This is a problem because, yeah, we're in this situation and God tried to tell us to go left. We went right. God's trying to get us out of the situation, and then we're complaining and say, God, why'd you put me in this situation? And God has said, I didn't put you in the situation. You put yourself, I told you to go left. I told you to go right. I told you not to do that. I told you to do this, but you did this. Now let me help you get out of it. So we can't just always blame God when we have trouble or we're in a wilderness moment. Sometimes it's us. But sometimes it is God has us, he has us navigating through this particular time in our lives. We cannot find fault with God. Ultimately, when we find fault with God, what we're doing is we're calling into question God's character and his intentions towards you. And that's a problem. That invokes the righteous indignation of God because you're calling into question. God's the one who gave you life. He sustained you. He saved you. He's kept you. He's done all these things. And then we will stop and complain and murmur against God. And God is justified in wiping us all out if he wanted to. None of us deserve anything. Look at the stuff that we have done. But God, he's justified. And he's justified to get upset with us when we're complaining. When he knows that, man, I got all this in store for you. I've paved all this way for you. I'm getting ready to do something spectacular in your life. And you're just going through a transition time right now. I'm just ordering some things. And I'm taking you through, you still have your needs met, but you just don't have the Bentley. And you're mad because you don't have the Bentley. You don't have this and you don't have that and you're mad at God. We get mad at God when God is meeting our needs. He's just not supplying our greeds. Can I have an amen, y'all? And we have to stop and say, God, Wait, hold on. I need to check myself. I need to look myself in the mirror and say, God, please forgive me for complaining and murmuring in my tent. The quickest way for you and I to see God continue to pour his blessings down upon our lives is to develop a strong level of appreciation. Learn to appreciate God. Learn to appreciate what he's doing. Learn to sit back and say, God, I thank you for, I may not have everything that maybe I want, but I'm so grateful for what you've done in my life right now. Can we just give God a great big praise for what he's done in our lives? We complain too much. Call into question God's character and his intention towards us. And the person who, most of the time, the person who is influencing us to do this is the devil. He will sit back and whisper in your ear and tell you, see, God doesn't, he's not doing it. He'll do it for everybody else except you. God doesn't love you. You know, God, he's just mean. Why won't he do it? And he'll call into question God's character to you. If God, the reason why God doesn't want you to partake of this tree is because he knows that you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. Isn't that what he told Eve in the garden? He called into question God's character. He made it seem like God was withholding something from Eve that she really needed. We all know the story. He is the accuser. That's his name. He's an accuser. He will accuse you before God. He will go off and say, God, look at them. Look what they do, look what they're doing. They're messing up. He's the original snitch. Look. Look, they're doing this, God. You see? Get them. Because you're righteous and holy, get them. But aren't you grateful for the blood of Jesus? That's when Jesus steps in and say, listen, they confess their sin, devil, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sin. Amen? And it's we have a mediator, we have a high priest, but don't think that the devil's still not going before God all the time accusing you. That's what the Bible says, and that's, if you read Job's situation, that's what God said. That's what the devil said about Job. On the flip side, not only does he accuse you before God, he accuses, he talks about God to you. God doesn't love you because he's an accuser. That's his name. He's gonna slander. He's gonna make accusation. And he's gonna try to make it seem like God is trying to withhold something good from you. From you. That's what he's gonna do. And we have to have enough wisdom and not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes and devices to know this. Now, listen to me, y'all. Write this down in your notes. Listen to me. God always, he always has your best interest in mind. Always. Never assume that God does not have your best interest in mind. If God is withholding from you something, or if he's doing something in your life, always, don't think about just now where you're at. Think about the fact that, man, God always has my best interest in mind. He does. Man, you're going through it right now. Yeah, but I'm going to be all right. God has my best interest in mind. Man, you're going through a trial. I know. I know. Jesus went through a trial. People go through trials. Life happens. But God always has my best interest in mind. He's working all things together for my good. I just got to hang on. We're going to be fine. God always has my best. We have to see that, because the devil will tell you exactly the opposite. So these people are here complaining. They're murmuring. And they're upset with God. And they're upset with their situation. And it says here in verse 2, then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Teberah. Because the fire of the Lord had burned among this. But look at verses 4 on down to 6. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except, he says, this manna before our eyes. Now, when I study this, I read this, it really troubles me. But we're going to get a little deeper in this. You guys want to go a little deeper this morning? One of the things that happens here is we have to see, like I said earlier, that we are in the world, we are not of the world. It is clear that when we're looking at these last several verses, that there are two types of people that are there. The Bible says that there were mixed multitude and then there was Israel. There is a mixed multitude and there is Israel. So we have to keep in mind that all of us, even though we're in this world, we're not of the world. And around us, and I want to make sure I'm clear with this, around us and around the church, in the church, there's going to be people that are part of the group, But they're not all the way a part of the group yet. Understand what I'm saying? They're together and God wants them to be together, but the mixed multitude begins to develop cravings. They initially begin to develop cravings. And it's no different than some people who come and join churches or are part of churches, that they come to services. They want to know, they want to travel, they want to be a part of. But anytime you have mixture, there's going to be a problem. And you have to be careful. And so there's people that come to church and they're here and they like the songs, they love what's done, but they haven't fully got incorporated into what God is desiring yet. But they come and instead of them being influenced, they start to become influencers. And we, all of us, as saints of God, is my mic going out? I need this mic on. We good? And all of us, as saints of God, we have to be mindful of this. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We're going to be having people that are coming to get to know us, be a part of us, want to be friends. People that may not necessarily be all the way in the camp, but they want to. They're in that discovery mode. And for them, God had no problem with them traveling with the mixed multitudes. They were not a part of the camp or Israel per se, but they were a part of the camp. They weren't a part of Israel per se, but they were a part of camp. He says they were the mixed multitude. These individuals were the first ones that started to have strong cravings. And sometimes in the church, it's the same way. People are here, but they still have strong cravings for things that they used to do. Still have strong cravings for the direction that they used to go. They still have strong cravings for things that used to appeal to them. And God is trying to bring them in. And ultimately, people sometimes begin to have strong cravings for things in their lives that are more familiar to them. Man, I want to go to church. But man, I don't have any problem going to the club sometimes. Man, have you fully given your life to God? Well, I'm going through this road. I'm in the process. You know, I'm liking this. I'm feeling this. But you know what? I'm feeling it though. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good. Let's go to church. But if you go to church, you know you're going to have to start letting some things go that you used to like. Are you willing to give those things up? Well, I don't know. The problem that we've had in the body of Christ in the church is we have people like that are in that condition and state, which is fine because all of us have gone through this transition in life. But instead of us holding firm to the desires of the Lord and the cravings of the Lord and the things that the Lord is trying to instill within his camp, if you will, we start allowing the world to influence us instead of us in influencing the world. We start allowing those people's, that kind of person's desires to start to influence the church. Why? Because I want to have a big mega church. I don't want to have any kind of standard. I don't want to make it too rough. But listen to the wording here, y'all. Now the mixed multitude, verse 4, who were among them, yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" So the mixed multitude yielded, and when they yielded, what did the children of Israel do? They started to yield to it. Saints, be careful about who you are allowing to influence you.
And you're listening to Pastor Napoleon Kaufman here today on Times of Refreshing. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ through the daily ministry of God's Word. And as you take time to spend with us studying God's Word, we trust you are being encouraged in Christ.
You can reach out to us by phone, 925-292-7800, 925-292-7800, or write to us, Times of Refreshing, 2333 Nissen Drive, Livermore, California. The zip code is 94551. You're also welcome to visit our website, thewellchurch.net. It's a great place to visit if you would like information regarding who we are, where we meet, what we're about. Past sermons are available online there, as well as our online store. And you can even get connected with us there. Again, thewellchurch.net. I would invite you to join us on either our church app, at our website, thewellchurch.net, or on our YouTube channel for our weekly message at 10:30. Pastor Napoleon will share a message from the Lord just like he used to with his program Hope of Glory. And remember to be faithful as well during this time of challenge with your giving. You can give online through our website, through the church app, or by mail to the church office. And we are praying and standing on his truths during this time and remembering that God is in control, and we're praying for you. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.